Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you today, and yeah, I'm excited about what God has for us. I'm going to start with prayer. Abba, Father, we love you and thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for being with us here today. Father, I thank you that we don't have to beg or ask you to come, but that your word says that where two or three are gathered, you are in our midst. We come here this morning to gather together just in your name to hear from you, to worship you, and to have an encounter with you. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. We give this time to you and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've come to the end of 2024. We're right here at the end of it. I'm not sure what this year's looked like for you guys. For me and my family, there have been a lot of ups and downs. For those who don't know, just a couple months ago, my wife lost her father. And that was a tough time. Her mom had an intense back surgery. And so me and our three beautiful daughters were here on our own for 2 months. We survived. Everyone ate all of the meals that they needed. And we did pretty well, but we missed her. And when she got back, it was a big sigh of relief from me, for sure. And the girls probably as well. But we did have a good time during that time. But you know, it was difficult. And a lot of you know I work with one of the pro basketball teams here, the New Taipei Kings. And last season while we won the championship, I shared this the last time we preached. We still had a lot of difficulty and a lot of controversy and a lot of things that we struggled with throughout the whole season in people's lives. And so it's just been really there have been several difficult times that we've walked through throughout this year. I'm not going to name everything and give the laundry list, but there have also been a lot of great things that we've seen. We've seen the Lord really move and impact people's lives. We've seen groups started with the team that I work with. We've seen players on the team actually starting to read the word with me, and we're meeting weekly, and people are talking and sharing, and it's awesome. And we've seen Rhonda's been able to be a part of this park ministry, and they've been able to share the gospel with a lot of kids and their parents, and it's been amazing. We've just seen the Lord's faithfulness over and over and over again, even when things are difficult. I don't know what this year has looked like for you, if it's been similar with a lot of ups and downs, or maybe it's felt like just downs. Maybe it's felt like just you've been on a high all year. Whatever it is, I'm not sure what it is, but I pray today that what the Lord's given me to share with you guys is encouraging and helps us all not just walk into or stumble into 2025, but run into 2025 ready for what he has and ready to be a difference in other people's lives and in this community that we're a part of. Amen. So this year, back in May, I celebrated my 25th year of a relationship with Taiwan, which is just kind of amazing to me. Like, I can't be that old, right? Like, I can't be that old. But 25 years ago in May was my first time stepping foot here on this island, and the Lord just completely changed my life with it, and I'm so thankful for that. Some of you have heard my story, but one of the things I wanted to share is from my first day here in Taiwan. I believe it was May the 7th of 1999. So this story is from the 1900s, everyone, and we're going back that far. But as I share this, just as a reminder for those that don't know, so I found out I was coming to Taiwan just 1 week before I flew here, which that's another story for another time. But there were 30 of us on the flight that day from my school, all coming out here to do this mission trip. 29 of 30 suitcases made it. Guess whose didn't make it. It was mine. Back then, the TPE, the Italian International Airport, there was only one terminal. So we fly into Terminal 1, we're sitting there, and I'm like, hey, where's my suitcase? And so we have to go through this whole thing to get them set up. Here's where we're going to be. When y'all find it, bring it here. Da da da. My first time flying internationally, I didn't have in my backpack an extra set of clothes. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be rough. And I shared a room that night with a guy who, at the time, we didn't really know each other that well, so it was awkward. But a guy who's now one of my closest friends, his name is Sean Michelle, and I believe we have a picture. That's me and Sean. I know, baby, right? I was a baby back then. But that's Sean to my right, and we're just chilling there. That's not the room that we stayed in, by the way. That was just like us doing some tourist stuff. But Sean is about half my size, okay? But Sean, sweet dude that he is, he was like, Clay, if you need to borrow a pair of my underwear, I'll loan you a pair. And I know I'm getting a little intimate with this story, but I was like, I mean, all right, we can give it a whirl. And so, you know, next morning, get up, shower, he hands me a pair of clean underwear, and I put it on, and I felt like my knees were tied together. You know, I'm like, I'm just trying to get, and I was like, Sean, I don't think this is going to work. But I appreciate the gesture. So that night, we start our meeting with the missionaries that we're going to be working with, and we're having they're sharing with us about Taiwan, giving us the introduction, all that stuff. And then that evening, they took us to the Shirling Night Market. And because we were going to be working specifically with university students while we were here over those 2 weeks. So as we go to the, you know, we're here on mission, right? We're here to share Jesus with people. We're here on mission. We're on a mission trip. As we went to the Shirley Night Market that night, I had another singular mission. And that was to find a clean pair of underwear and a clean pair of shorts to take me through the next couple of days. So as I go there, not knowing, having any idea, this is like right as the internet's taking off, you know? So we didn't really have, there was no Google Maps and all that stuff to introduce us to Sherlyn. We just show up, and I'm like, all right, I got to find some clothes. And so as we're walking through, Sean and I are together. Everybody else is kind of scattered around. As we're walking through, we cross in front of one of the temples. And back then, like the night markets are intense now, but back then they were just incredibly packed with people, just thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people all over the place. And as we're walking through and just, you know, we feel like, you know, it's just shoulder to shoulder, we get close to this temple, which we had never seen a temple before. We get close to this temple and we both almost trip over this invalid who had been brought out there and laid down on the street, just in the middle of this market, laid down on the street. And his body's all deformed and laying on the ground. There's a bowl there for people to put in money to give him. And there's a little bitty transistor radio sitting there playing like this, just chanting Buddhist Taoist music stuff going on. And as Sean and I almost tripped over this guy, I'm going to tell you the condensed version of this story. The Lord said something to me and to him in that moment. And the Lord said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. The Lord compelled us to take a step of faith that we were not prepared to take. Today we're going to look at a relatively familiar passage. We'll come back to that story also, by the way. Today we're going to look at a relatively familiar passage, Matthew 14. But my prayer today is that we would perhaps be able to see it from a different perspective than maybe we've grown up. And if we're honest, as we read and look at it, we'll probably see ourselves represented in a few different places in this story. But we're going to start Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. Now, real quick, pause. Jesus had just fed the 5,000, more than likely 20,000 or so. He had just done all of this stuff, and people were coming to him just like in, just amazed, right? That had just happened. Now Jesus is sending his disciples away. So again, I'm going to start in 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." So as we look at this, the first thing that I want to look at is that word, and it's in verse 22, the third word. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. Other translations use the word compelled or constrained. And the indication is that Jesus kind of forced them onto the boat. And you got to remember, several of these dudes were fishermen and they grew up fishing. They knew how to read the weather. They knew what was going on, and it's already evening. There's a good chance that these fishermen who are now following Jesus, that as Jesus tells them, "I want you to get to the boat and go to the other side," that they're thinking like, "But do you see this coming? Like, this is going to be a problem. It's not going to be smooth sailing to the other side." But Jesus makes them get into the boat. He puts them into a situation that they're not comfortable with, right? So then after he does that, they reluctantly, in my opinion, they reluctantly agree. And after he does that, he goes off by himself to pray. He goes off by himself to spend time with his Father. The disciples are on their own. They're trying to get to the other side. A lot of them know how to do this boat riding thing. They know how to get over there, but they're in the middle of a storm and it's difficulty. The winds are coming against them and they're scared. The waves are high. They're scared of what's going on. And then Jesus, after he's done spending time with his Father alone, he takes off. And this is just so awesome to me. He's like, "They're way over there. All right, I'll just walk to them." And he just walks across, just walks on top of the water. I mean, if we really stop and think about that, like, that's crazy, right? How many of you have tried to walk on water? I straight have. I have a lot of times. Like, at a pool, at the ocean, I've straight tried to, "Lord, I want to do this." And at the pool, it's kind of okay because that's the way a lot of people go into the water, you know? So you don't look like super crazy. You just, you're like, "All right, here we go, God." You know? And then you get all wet and everything. But I've straight tried it a lot of times in my life. I'm not going to lie. And I have yet to do it, to be honest. But That's just amazing to me. And as he's walking across there, he catches up to his followers. And they're putting up a fight. They're trying to stay alive, right? Like, they're just fighting and fighting and fighting. And all of a sudden, they see what they think is a ghost out on top of the water and just flip out. Just flip out, start screaming, going crazy. They're like, "It's a ghost! What in the world? We're doomed! We're fighting this! Like, this is going on!" And then Jesus sees that and he's like, "Hey guys, it's me. It's me." And then Well, real quick, how often in our own lives are we fearful of our circumstances? How often in our own lives do we get put into situations where we're like, I don't know. I don't know how this is gonna play out. I don't know how this is gonna work. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I mean, that is my story over and over and over and over and over again throughout my life, throughout my 30 plus years on this earth. 40 plus. 30 plus isn't a lie, but it sounds better. But how many times have we gone through, have we been in situations and circumstances that God put us in, and we're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this? Because we look at the circumstance, and we're not even looking to God, we're just trying to survive, right? Like, I can say that I've been there. I can say that I've been there in multiple situations. We let our mind's eye, especially, and the fear that it contrives to control our actions and our plans. So often we allow this amazing imagination that God's given us to just run off the rails into the worst case scenario. And fear just doesn't creep in. It just pounces. And then we just feel desperate and alone and like, what am I going to do? But the thing is, a lot of times those situations that we're in, God put us in those situations. Because God has a plan for us, and he wants us to see him, and he wants to show us that he's going to show up. Not only that he's going to show up, but see, we have something that these disciples didn't. While, yeah, they were walking with Jesus, he is in us. If you've given your life to Jesus, he is in you. He is in you. We've got something better than they did. It's hard to imagine that a lot of times because we're like, but they were with him. No, he's in you if you've given your life to him. But as we're going through, or as they're going through and they freak out and Jesus says, hey, guys, calm down. It's me. Peter has the gumption to say, I love this. I love Peter. He's such just a fireball and crazy and runs his mouth way too often, but I love it. You know, Peter has the audacity in the middle of the storm and the freaking out to say, if that is you, then tell me to come out there with you. And Jesus is like, come on. Oh, real quick before that, one of the other things that Jesus said to them, guys, it's me. Don't be afraid. And I don't want to miss that. I've taught over the last couple weeks with the Kings and with the guys I'm meeting with there on the team, we've gone over this phrase a lot. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe that that word or that phrase, do not be afraid or do not fear, is spoken by the Lord 365 times in the Bible. Once for every day, if you figure it up that way, of our lives. And do you know why that is? It's not because we won't be afraid. It's because we are afraid and he's comforting us, encouraging us, and telling us, do not be afraid. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember what I've called you to. Remember that I have a plan for your life. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I don't know right now, just want to pause on that for a second. Some of you might be in a place, it might be a sickness or a disease, it might be job, it might be financial, it might be relational. I don't know, there's a lot of people in here this morning, and you might be in this place of just fear, and like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just want you to hear from the Lord right now, do not be afraid. It is easy to say, but it's so comforting when it comes from him. Do not be afraid. I've thought about this, and again, just last week we talked about it. in one of our groups, but I didn't plan to share this story. But how many of you guys were here for the big earthquake back in April? Not many, huh? All right, so back in April, it was a pretty intense earthquake. We were actually down in Tainan at the time, and we were in a hotel, and it's just like rocking us, right? Rocking us. We're about to go eat breakfast, and then all of a sudden, we start getting thrown around the room. And I remember during that time, like as soon as it happened, the first thing, and I didn't ask for permission for this, so I apologize if my daughters are in here. I don't know if they are or not. But I remember the first thing that my girls did was they came to me. Like, they came to me, they grabbed my arms and legs, and they just looked to me for comfort. They looked to me that even in the midst of the jostling and the shaking and everything else, and to be honest, I was afraid. You know, I'm shaking and rocking and that kind of deal. I was nervous about what's going on. But they came to their father, they came to their daddy because they needed to be comforted in the middle of the storm. And I want to encourage you that if that's where you are, your daddy in heaven, the one that created you, he just wants you to hold on to him and hear him say, do not be afraid. I'm here and I got you. Do not be afraid. So then Peter, he steps up like we just talked about. He says, like, that's really you. I want to get out there too. And Jesus is like, come on. And Peter gets out of the boat. I would imagine just, you know, knowing Peter through scripture and what I've read, that he wasn't like, I don't think his getting out of the boat was like, this. I think he was like, woohoo, like hopping the fence, getting on there and walking towards Jesus. And I love that. Like, I love seeing it like that. That just in the moment, God spoke to me. Have you ever had an experience where you know God spoke to you? And there's just this excitement, this fired upness where you're like, we're going to conquer the world. You know, like you're just ready to get after it. And you respond with that leaping into what it is that he's called you to. But then you get into what it is that he's called you to. And it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There's difficulty. There's struggle. There's opposition. There's storms. There's distractions. There's other good ideas all around. It's like, well, this isn't what I thought he was calling me to. I didn't know it was going to entail all of this. And I think that's where Peter was also. He jumped over. He was fired up. He starts walking on the water. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And then all of a sudden, he's like, splash in the face. His tunic gets blown up. You know, whatever it, like, all of a sudden he starts feeling and experiencing the storm around him. The thing that had been terrifying him, that all of a sudden he was blind to for a moment when he encounters Jesus. All of a sudden, those things are back in front of him and in his face, and he's in the middle of them again. He's actually never not in the middle of them. But he just fixed his eyes on Jesus, right? And then he took his eyes off. And all this other stuff is going on. And he sinks and he remembers as he's falling into the water, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs and pulls him up. They hop in the boat. Everything's calm and they're at the other side. That's a crazy story. That is crazy. And one of the things I want y'all to, like, I've read the Bible through so many times over the years. And this isn't a brag, but just to let you know, and I encourage you to do this if you can. There was a time, a 10-year period, where I read the New Testament 6 times a year and the Old Testament 2 times every year. So that's like 60 times New Testament, 20 times Old Testament over a 10-year period. After I had kids and other stuff, like, I don't have as much time, but I still try to read large portions of Scripture. But I've read a lot. And one of the things that as you read, if you're just reading to read or just hearing the Bible stories, It's easy for them to just be like this story that happened. And it doesn't carry the wow factor anymore. But this is something that actually happened. And I want to encourage you, as you, if you're not somebody who already reads the Word, you're not somebody who already reads the Bible, I want to encourage you, like, there is life in this book. God will speak to you in this book. This is called His Word. And He will speak to you and talk to you in ways that you can't possibly imagine as you read this. But don't let the stories just become stories. Like, oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. Like, my prayer is that I would never lose my wonder and awe of, like, oh, my gosh. Jesus and Peter walked on the water? This is incredible. It's a huge deal. And then I got to think, what are those other 11 guys thinking? Like, if I weren't in Peter, I try to put myself in each person's, you know, shoes, if you will. And I got to think that if I was one of the other 11 and I just saw that, like when we got to the edge, I'd be like, hey, Jesus, you mind if I take a little walk with you? Real quick, I want to do that. That looked pretty cool, you know? But they just get to the other side. They worship him. Their response is they worship him. You truly are the Son of God. And I think I would have been in that place of like, oh my gosh, you truly are God's Son. You truly are God's Son. They'd seen miracle, 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 miracle. And then this one like completely blew their minds. I seriously think I'd have been like, hey, Jesus, can we do it real quick? Just 10 yards back. Like, I just want to try, you know? I think that's where I would have been. But how does this relate to us? A lot of times we go through the storms of life in fear and feeling alone. Even when Jesus does show up, we can talk ourselves out of it being him. Right? I'm going to go back to that story real quick. Jesus spoke so clearly to me and Sean that night what he wanted us to say to him. We don't have what you're looking for, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up. Can you imagine if we would have responded in obedience to that and this invalid who had been brought there by somebody else and laid there, who was known in that market, if he got up completely healed, legs and arms strengthened, life back in his body. If he had gotten up and started jumping and running around and praising God in the middle of these tens of thousands of people, that's thousands of people, let's say, what could have happened? But you know what Sean and I did? We did nothing. Because we doubted that God was speaking to us. God was telling us and compelling us and pushing us into this place of like, I want you to go with me here. And we said no. And how many times is that true for us? That may have been something that's happened with you this past year, something that you're going through right now. God's telling you and compelling you to step into something. And you're like, no. No. And to be honest, for Sean and I, we had grown up believing that healing didn't take place. We had grown up believing that the gifts of the Spirit and all this stuff had passed away with the disciples and the apostles and all that stuff. We had grown up being taught that stuff. But we were faced with something in the moment that didn't make sense to us. And we partnered with, rather than partnering with, what if this is God, we partnered with, can't be, and I don't want to do that. That was what we partnered with unbelief. We partnered with doubt. I didn't talk about that for almost a year. Sean and I, about 10 months later, we were studying for finals together, and I asked Sean that night, I was like, hey, Sean, I got a question for you. Do you remember our first night in Taiwan back last year? And as soon as I said that, his face got super serious. He goes, yeah. And I said, you remember the invalid that we almost tripped over He said, yeah, and I could see tears start to come in his eyes. I said, did you feel like God was telling you anything in that moment? And he said, what did you hear? And I said, well, I heard silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And Sean just starts weeping. And I start weeping. Neither one of us were criers, but we're weeping, studying for finals in the art building as we both just realized he told both of us the exact same thing at the exact same moment. And we both chose to partner with doubt and unbelief. And that night, the Lord really brought healing to Sean and I and into our lives as we were able to confess it together, share it together. And I will tell you, from that moment on, I was like, nope. If God tells me to move on something, I'm moving on it. I do not want to be the reason that this person doesn't receive a blessing. I do not want to be the reason that this person doesn't get what God has for him. And I'll tell you, there have been a lot of times where I've engaged with and prayed for healing and that kind of deal, and I didn't see anything happen. But there have also been a lot of times where I've prayed with and engaged in healing, and I've seen the Lord show up, and I've seen the Lord heal people from some crazy stuff. And this is all praise and glory to God, because he's the one that does it. But he chooses me, he chooses us to partner with him to see it done. Amen? And there's nothing special about me other than my big brother is Jesus. There's nothing special about, you don't have to have any sort of degree, have been walking with Jesus for 15 years, and then on year 16, it's going to happen. There is no JV Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if you've given your life to him, is alive and active and living inside of you. Just like he is inside of me. Amen? It's just a matter of partnering with him and believing with him and stepping into, even when it's uncomfortable, stepping with him into what it is that he's called us to. I got to say, a lot of times, and this is no knock on, I'm incredibly thankful for the preachers and the pastors and the teachers and the Sunday school teachers and everyone who invested in me as I was growing up. It's no knock on them, but almost every time that I've heard this story growing up, the focus was on, but Peter sank and had to call out to Jesus for rescue. And it's almost been presented as like, man, that Peter, like he doubted and he sunk. Where it's like kind of piling on Peter. And Jesus even says to him, like, you have little faith, why did you doubt? But one of the things that I'd like to go back and ask those people, to be honest, is like, how many times have you walked on the water? Like, I want to have that kind of faith. I mean, at least he did it. Right? He did it to an extent. And when Jesus pulls him back up, we don't talk about this. Jesus pulls him back up, but they had to walk back to the boat. He walked, sunk, walked again. Right? That's amazing. And I don't want you to get discouraged with wherever you are, wherever you've partnered with doubt or unbelief or that kind of deal. Like, I just want to encourage you to just go for it. And a lot of times it's simple things that we allow fear or doubt or I just don't want to. Sometimes it's super simple. It's sharing with your friend. It's sharing Jesus with your family member or your friend or your coworker or your teammate. It's stepping out into that place of like, man, I don't know what they're going to think of me. And that's like the simple stuff. That's just talking, right? That's just talking and engaging with somebody that you already love, somebody that you already have a relationship with. Then there's times where he compels us to do the impossible. It's impossible to walk on water. No, it's not actually. It's impossible to see the dead raised. It's impossible to see cancer gone. It's impossible to see this diagnosis healed. It's impossible to see my school change. It's impossible to see my company change. It's impossible to see my team change. You don't know what it's like. You don't know. No, I do. But God, if God's stepping into and you're partnering with him where he has you, there ain't nothing that's impossible. That's my Southern coming out of me. There ain't nothing that's impossible with Jesus. Amen? Nothing is impossible with Jesus. And when we partner with him into those areas that he's called us, into those places that he has put us, whether it's a high and amazing things are happening, or whether it's you're just in the suck and it is tough, wherever it is, if you're partnered with Jesus, he has you there for a reason. And there is blessing in it, and there's blessing on the other side of it. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus hasn't just called us to a place. He's called us into life with him. He's called us into life. I almost spoke on this morning. John 17, Jesus' prayer to the Father. A lot of times we think about eternal life as when I die, this is going to happen. I'm going to be there. That's the goal. No, man. I'm just here to tell you that's not the goal. That is not the goal. Jesus himself, we think about eternal life as like a length of time. That makes sense? Like eternity, yongsheng, eternal life. We think of it as a length of time, but Jesus specifically defined it in John 17:3, and he said, this is eternal life, that they would know you and Jesus Christ, your son, who you sent. That's eternal life. It's knowing him. Whatever it is that he's called you to, whatever dream it is that he's given you, that's not the goal. The goal is to get closer and closer and closer to him as you walk that direction with him. And guess what? When you arrive there, there's going to be something else that he's calling you to. And you're going to keep moving and keep moving and keep moving with him. That's the goal. Every high that we have, everything that we have to celebrate, the goal is to do that with him. Every difficulty that we go through, it's to make us stronger, tougher, more dependent, more offensive towards the enemy, more loving towards other people. How do we become like Jesus in the places that he's put us? That's the goal, is to do it with him. That's his whole desire, is to live and walk with you. So I ask you this morning, what water has he called you to walk on? It could be a business idea that you have. It could be a team that you're a part of. With your business, with like a sports team, it could be with in your school. It could be whether you're still in school. I don't know if there's any students in here or if you've gone, but if it's with your classmates and teammates at your school and what God has you going through, whether you're now a career person and you're in this company or on this team or in this organization or with this group, whatever it is, he has you there for a reason. What water is it that he's calling you to walk on there? And again, sometimes it's super simple. We don't have to look for those home run things of like, well, if it's not praying for somebody to raise from the dead, I'm not, yeah, that's little stuff. I'm like, no, a lot of times it's as simple as like, I just need to spend time. If you know me at all, you know that my heart is discipleship, spending time with people, engaging with people, walking with people through life and teaching them how to follow the one that I'm following. Like, that's my heart. That's my goal. That's my desire. And a lot of times our water walking, especially when we're just starting, is as simple as like, hey, can we go get coffee together and just chat and get to know you? Get to know each other? And through that process, you begin to step more confidently onto the water and share about who Jesus is to you. And you get to love them where they are. And not force them into anything, but love them where they are and let them see Jesus. Let them get a taste, let them get a scent of Jesus and who he is. For a lot of us, that might be the water that the Lord's calling us to walk on right now. For others, it might be a specific person. It might be for healing. It might be for freedom from addictions. It might be from these other things. It might be a business idea that the Lord's given you, or ministry idea that the Lord's given you, or nonprofit, or whatever. It could be a million different things, but what is it that the Lord's calling you to? And if we're honest, as we look at this story, I could look back on this past year, 2024, and I could probably see myself as the 12 who didn't want to get on the boat. You know, the Lord was calling me to something. I was like, it looks tough. There's a storm a brewing. That looks tough. I don't know if I want to get on the water, if I want to get in the boat and go that way. If I'm honest, I've probably been there a few times this year. Also, if I'm honest, I've probably been one of the 12 on the boat who, while I said yes, I got distracted by the difficulties and the storms going on all around me. And I was scared. If I'm honest, there have been a few times where I was like Peter, and I jumped out, fired up. And then I saw the stuff and I sank. And if I'm honest, I'm one of the 11 sitting there like, watching somebody else do this amazing thing. All of those are great. It's great to understand where you are. I mean, already credit to the 12, they had given up everything to follow Jesus. And we can't lose sight of that. They had given their lives to him. Credit to Peter. He jumped out the boat. And he engaged with Jesus with what Jesus said. It wasn't even Jesus' idea. Let's remember that real quick. It wasn't Jesus' idea for Peter to walk on the water. It was Peter's idea. Peter saw Jesus doing it and was like, I want to be with you. His faith took him out there and helped him walk on the water, but then the doubt came. And it swallowed up the faith, if you will. And Jesus had to pull him back. And that's okay. That's where we are sometimes in our lives. I want us to be like Peter. But ultimately, he's not the goal. What I want us to see is that Jesus is the goal. I want for my own life, I want for my wife, for my 3 daughters, I want for us to be like Jesus. Because if we remember back in the story, Jesus sent them off and then he went and spent time alone with his Father. And that's so important. Even Jesus himself, God made flesh, wanted to spend time with his Father. It's so important for us to spend time every day in prayer, communing, talking with our Father, reading his word. getting to know him, getting to see ourselves the way that he sees us. It's so important. And Jesus, from that place, walked out on the water. He did something that had never been seen or even thought of before. Like with Moses and them, you know, they had a huge sea in front of them, right? The sea split open. They walked on dry land. That had never been contrived or thought of before. Jesus takes that a step further and just like, yeah, we don't need all that. I'm just going to walk on it. But if you remember, Jesus says in John that he only did the things that he sees the Father doing. And for my life and for each of you, I want all of us to be at that place where we know the Father so well. We know Jesus so well that we just partner with him in what he's already doing. I would submit to you that as Jesus came off the mountain, he didn't leave the Father up there. He walked with him off the mountain. He saw him walking across the water, and he joined with his Father in that walk. That's where I want us to be. That's where I want to be, where I'm calling other people out into the water. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but I want to be like him, where I'm inviting other people onto the water because I'm following the one who's walking on the water. That's the goal. A lot of us, we've limited our own lives. We've limited our own selves because of what we've been taught, what we believe possible, what we believe God can do with us. Because I know me, I know my mistakes, I know my shortcomings, I know my failures, I know the things that I struggle with. But God knows me even better than I know myself. And guess what? He still wants to walk with me. He still wants to use me to bless other people. And the same is true for you. He still wants to walk with you. He still wants to use you to be a blessing to other people and to grow with him and to get closer and closer and more and more and more and more and more like Jesus. So my prayer for us is that in these last few days of 2024, that we would crush them, that we would crush them, that we would step with confidence into, you know, no matter what comes, no matter what difficulty we have, no matter what it is that we face, I'm with my Creator. I'm with my Daddy. He wants the best for me. So whatever it is that you're going through, my prayer is that you would crush these last few days and that you would sprint confidently and expectantly into 2025, and that this next year, that while there are going to be highs and there are going to be lows, but that you would continue to look more and more and more and more and more like the lover of your soul, that you would continue to look more and more and more and more like Jesus, and that even when the junk comes and even when the victories come, that you would be able to say, it is well with my soul because I am with my Daddy. I'm with my big brother. And that you would just get past yourself, get over yourself, and allow that I would get over myself and allow the Lord to just use me to be a blessing to those that he's put in my life. Amen? If you've never given your life to Jesus and you're here today and you've been hearing me talk about him, this Jesus that we worship this morning, this Jesus that I've been talking about, and my prayer is that for you, today would be the day of salvation. That today would be the day that you could know him. And today could be the start date. For that it would ultimately be the best day of your life. That today would be the starting point of a relationship with Jesus that you could carry on every day from now into eternity. I would love to talk to you about that. We're going to have some prayer servants up here who would love to talk to you about that. If you've got any questions, if you want to explore that, talk about that, come find us. And for those of you, whether he's calling you onto the boat and you're like, I don't know, or whether you're already on the boat, whether you've taken that step onto the water and you're starting to see the other stuff come around, wherever you are, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for us as a group that we would be able to, that we would be able to just partner with Jesus, that we would get beyond the distractions and be able to focus on what it is that he's called us to, okay? Abba, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for stories like this that you didn't just contrive. They're not just well thought up stories, but I thank you that you live this out. I thank you that you showed us that what we oftentimes see as impossible, be it a family member or a friend give their life to you because they're so far away, they're in so much difficulty, they're in so much turmoil, it's just not possible, that you are the God of the possible. That you are the one who brings dead things to life. That you are the one who brings beauty from ashes. That's who you are. And I thank you, Father, that you have called us to that place, to join with you, to partner with you where you are. I thank you, Father, that you delight in each person here as the object of your affection. As a person that you created to partner with you. And Father, wherever we are in the story that we looked at this morning and what we've been talking about, whether you're compelling us to just get started, to go to a place, whether we're already on the boat, we've committed to that, but we've just allowed the storms to distract us and to allow fear to seemingly overtake us, or whether we've actually taken that step of walking on the water and have allowed those things, those distractions, those fears to creep in and to cause us to begin to sink. Wherever we are in here, Father, I pray that you would help us to learn how to fix our eyes on you. That we would not be moved and controlled by our feelings, that we would not be moved and controlled by our imagination and by the what ifs. But that we would be moved and controlled by your love, by your spirit. I pray that you would instill within each of us a desire for your word, to get all that we need every day from your word, from time with you. And Father, I pray that for these last few days of this year and for 2025, that it would be a banner year, even when it's difficult, that would be a banner year where we become water walkers and where we bring other people along with us because we're following you. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, ears, hearts to see you for who you are and to see ourselves the way that you see us. And that'll change everything. Thank you for this time that we've had together this morning. We love you, we worship you, because you are worthy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.